Everybody, welcome to the show. This is I Think You're Dope with Eric Nam. Today's episode is with Alec Benjamin. He's a singer-songwriter, incredibly great human being, and we became friends over the past few years because we met while I was on tour, and he opened for the first few shows that I did in the States. He has some incredible music. He's a great person, and we just caught up about life while he was in Seoul for his show. We do want to go ahead and tell you that when we recorded this show with him, we had not come up with this amazing title of I Think You're Dope yet. So, you'll probably hear a different show reference. And I think it was like Behind the Hit or The Next Big Thing or something cool like that. But clearly, I Think You're Dope is better. So, this is the episode with Alec Benjamin. Hope you guys love it. Please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast from. You can check out the video on Dive Studios' YouTube page. Please subscribe there too. And leave us a great comment, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Please tell all your friends about the show because it's incredible. Hope you have a great day. Enjoy the show.
You good? We good? You good?
I'm good.
All right.
Cool.
This is weird. This is awkward. I don't know why.
Not for me.
I feel like I have to be professional with you or something.
There is no need to feel that way.
Like, I feel like... All the conversations we have are just very like casual, but now it's like
right.
A deeper conversation.
Right.
All right. Anyways, today we have a special guest. His name is Alec Benjamin.
Hello. Hey, thanks.
Yay! Hey. All two people in the room are clapping.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Disregard the small applause sound. We're very excited to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, I feel like everybody in the world knows you right now.
I don't feel that way.
We're getting there. We're getting there very quickly.
Well, that's cool. Hopefully there are a lot of people who've heard my songs. I'm not really so concerned that people know, like, I feel like I don't really care about like people knowing like me, but maybe my music,
right.
You know?
So right. I feel like most artists probably, that's like where they want to put their most value, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very relatable in that sense. But for people who may not know you, so your name, full name is Alec Benjamin.
That's true. Well, right. I have a middle name.
Are we missing a middle name? What's your middle name?
Shane.
Alec Shane
Benjamin. I have three first names.
Three? You do have three first names.
People always ask me, they're like, is Alec Benjamin your real name? And it is.
Yeah. You were born, were you raised in Phoenix?
I was, So I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. I lived there until I was three. And then my family moved to New York for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back to Phoenix in the second grade. And I lived there until I was 18. And then I moved to California.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that. You moved to California for college or...
Yeah.
Okay.
So I moved to California because like in the... Maybe when I was a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. I started like listening to music more, and I was never like really like my mom listened to music, but they weren't the kind of family that had like records playing all the time, right. And my parents weren't like super music nerds or anything mm-hmm. like that. But for some reason, there was a girl that I liked in high school a lot, and she was like, it's so cool when guys can play the guitar, and I was like, dope, like I'll probably like try to do that then. So she said that in middle school, and then I went to a different high school than her for like a year or two.
Uh-huh.
I went to this like small high school, and then it got closed down, which is a bummer.
Oh, man.
But while I was away, I was like, I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to like know how to play guitar. And I did that, but it didn't really seem to make much of a difference. But in the process, I really fell in love with music.
Yeah.
And I was really like, at first I was like, this is crazy. Who would know? But then as I grow up, like it kind of makes sense to me looking back, because when I was like, when I was in the second grade, I found Eminem and I would sit, I bought all of his CDs. I'm shocked that my parents let me have them, but
those are pretty aggressive lyrics for a second grader.
I don't think they really understood like what they were letting me listen to. But I would listen to the songs over and over and over and mm-hmm. over and over again until I learned all of the words, because I was so like, the words were so important to me. And I was just like, when I listened to Eminem, I was like, how does somebody piece words together like that
mm-hmm.
in a song, and write such vivid stories?
Right.
You know, with all of the restrictions placed on you, how does he tell such a vivid story? And I was like, that's so impressive. And so then when I got into guitar and I started listening to other songwriters, I guess it made sense that I would want to do music. I don't remember what your initial question was, but yeah.
You know what? That was a great story, though. I appreciate it. I have two follow-ups.
Where were you raised? Let me tell you everything about me.
We're done. Well, I have like two follow-ups to that, actually. First of all, with that girl, did you ever, like, nothing ever came of it? Are you guys still in touch?
We are still friends.
Okay.
And then I told her, I was like, yo, do you know, like, that's why I told her like maybe like 8 months ago or something. And I think she was like really like confused by it. You know, there was also this other girl case. Yeah. I was very impressionable, I guess. But she was like, oh, it's so cool. Like when guys wear like Dickie shorts and Vans. And I was like, next week, I was like, yo, mom, can you take me to Tilly's? Like, I need to like buy some Dickie shorts and Vans.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, but it didn't really seem to matter to them that much. I was like, okay, cool. I have these clothes I don't care about. And now I have two guitars and no girlfriends.
Well, now you're doing everything around the world, so
that's cool. Yeah, it's really exciting to get to be here with you. Like, it's crazy because, well, I don't know if the people watching or listening will know, but I opened for you, and so we were always talking about like, oh, it'd be so crazy to like come to Korea, and now I'm here.
It's crazy. Yeah, for people who don't know, I feel like most people don't know, except for like the couple thousand people that were at those shows. So this is 2017,
right?
In New York, and two shows in Atlanta. Alec opened for my first shows in the States.
It was the craziest thing ever. It was so cool to like get to see someone like, you know, as professional as you and like your show, and just like see how. No, but seriously, like that was like that was a really big opportunity for me. And so like to get to see that and to learn was really awesome. And I'm grateful. So no, thank
that's
you.
Just crazy because I feel like I was making it up as I was doing it. So
yeah, I guess
for you to be like, oh, it was so cool, it was so professional. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing ever.
I think maybe everybody feels that way.
We fake it. Always.
You fake it till you make
it. But no, it's kind of crazy. It's like full circle because it was in the States. And then I just remember, it's like there's a, because we hadn't met prior to the shows. I was like, there's somebody on stage who has a crazy voice.
Oh, thanks.
Who is it? And then it's Alec.
Yeah, I was like, wearing way tighter pants than them, so a lot has changed.
It's all good, dude. Like, I don't know. It was like, and then like we met up in LA once or twice.
Yeah.
We just hung out.
Yes,
and then,
very cool.
And then boom, over the past year maybe, right?
Yeah.
Things have just kind of taken off.
I feel like I've been like working at making music for a long time though, because I guess like things just take a while.
Forever.
Yeah, but I got like signed and dropped and then just like went through the whole like the whole ringer. And so I've just been, I don't know.
Can you take us through that process a little bit? Like what, so you move out to LA, you went to USC, and you were doing music. What were you studying?
I studied music.
Music.
But I didn't study much of anything. I got there, instantly dropped. Like my music theory class was at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's not happening, dude.
That worked for about 4 days.
Right.
And then I dropped that class. I think I always knew going in that I never really loved school all that much. But in order to move out to California, my parents were like, we won't support this unless you go to college. So I was like, all right, well, I'll go to school then.
Right.
So I did that, but I was only in school for about a year. And then my second year in school, I took like one online gerontology class, which like that doesn't really count.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. It's a study of human aging.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was actually fascinating to be honest, but that was only like 4 credits and then I was out. So I did that. And then like at the end of my freshman year was when I got my first record deal. And so I was like, all right, time for me to drop out, like peace out, this is it, I'm gonna be a star.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work out that way. So but it was enough for my parents to say like, it's all right, like if you want to leave school and kind of just do music. So I made a whole album and then I never got to put it out, which was a bummer.
What did you end up doing with that album?
Well, I wasn't supposed to, but I put all the songs on YouTube. I was just like, I worked so hard on it and I was so proud of it. And I was like, I really want this music to get out there. So I just started putting it up anyways, I kind of just like went a little bit rogue and was just like, you know what, I'm putting these songs out. And then at that point, I just kind of did everything I could to get a fan base. So I would go out in front of other people's shows and sing online until finally you finally let me on stage. Seriously, because
was that the first time
I had gotten on stage, like really to open for somebody after like maybe 8 or 9 months of like singing online. So the first two things that I did was I opened for John Bellion and then I opened for you.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Bellion, of course, is an amazing friend of yours as well.
Yeah,
great artist.
He's super cool. And I got to write a song with him for one of his albums, and that was like a really cool experience for me. But there was a period after I got dropped where like I was literally just following people's tours around and handing out business cards, and just like I was going, I don't know, like anywhere I'd be, I'd just be like, can I sing you a song? Like,
you know,
people would be eating dinner, you know, I'd be like, is it cool if I like, you know, sing you guys a song or whatever, hand you these business cards? Yeah, you got to do whatever you can do. And also I was at a weird stage where like, I couldn't really do anything with my music. So the only way I could really like show people my songs was to either sing it to them in person and then to get them to find me on YouTube. So
okay.
Like, people would be like, I looked you up, but I can't find you anywhere. It's like, yeah, well.
That's crazy. You played outside Shawn Mendes shows, Troye Sivan, you just played for everybody, but what was that moment where something kind of changed? There was a big click or?
I still feel like I'm still like in that kind of like, oh, you know, this could stop at any second. I have to keep going. So I don't know if I really feel like I've hit that breaking point.
Right,
but
right,
it's weird when someone will say to you like, oh, so much has changed, right? Like, and I'm like, I guess, yeah, I'm in Korea right now. So that's pretty cool. But you know that saying, it's like a watch pot never boils.
Uh-huh.
Like when you're in it, you know, and you see it every day and you can see it, you know, incrementally change. It doesn't really feel the same as when, you know, you step away and then you look back. So I don't know if there's been like one specific point.
So you got dropped from your label.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you end up getting into another label? How did that process kind of?
Well, I think it was just like the whole like singing on lines for people. Oh, and then there was this kid named Americana, and I have this song called I Built a Friend, and he was a fan of it. And he was like, can I dance to this song? I'm auditioning for America's Got Talent. I was like, yeah, man, go ahead. So I actually didn't even really own the master rights to that song. So I had to re-record it so that he could, he danced to the real version of the song that I had recorded while I was signed to Columbia. But I had to re-record a version of it and hope that when it Shazammed, if people listened to it on the show, that it would Shazam to that version. And it worked.
It worked?
Yeah, which is awesome.
You outdid the system.
Well, I don't know if I outdid the system. Maybe they like, I don't know how that happened. But anyways, that he danced to the song and it got like, you know, had like a little viral moment and people like bought the song on iTunes and it charted on iTunes and that kind of gave me an opportunity. And all of a sudden record labels were like, oh, there's this kid named Alec Benjamin, he has a song called I Built a Friend. I was like, I've been here the whole time. You know?
I've been here forever, guys.
Yeah, but that kind of gave me the opportunity to get started again.
All right, so now you're at Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Warner, and then Justin manages you. And Mike Heron, you work with Mike Heron, obviously. What is like this new record deal and like this new environment and team? What has that been like for you?
It's been awesome because they just give me the support that I need to make the music that I want to make. And when I feel like I have songs that I want to share with the world, they help me reach people. And that's really amazing. And they also like give me the resources and put me in the right position to make my music better.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. I think at the end of the day, it's like, you have to focus on writing songs. And so also in that whole period of time where I was like singing outside online in front of people's shows, I was also writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like 2017 or 2018, I must have written like 150 or 200 songs.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy like that. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of songs.
It's a lot.
A lot of them weren't very good, but I feel like I was like, I just got to keep making songs and keep writing. And so now I'm like, okay, well, I have to do that again.
Yeah. Time for that new album, right?
Yeah. And through this whole process of like doing my own tours and stuff, I've been like writing consistently mm-hmm. and I keep jotting my ideas down, but it's nice to be at home for a few months so you can right. sit down and really focus right, because right. it's easy to lose that little pinhole of focus, right. you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so, you know, you're at a new label, you have a new deal, great team, you're doing your own tours, you mm-hmm. opened for, I didn't know this, you opened for Camila Cabello.
Oh, I did,
well.
Yeah, yeah, I opened what? Two shows on her. She did like a show, a couple shows on the East Coast, and she needed an opener, and so I got that opportunity, and that was insane.
I'm sure that was
really crazy, yeah, because it's the first time I've ever played in an arena.
Uh-huh.
So that's a weird experience because there's a lot of people there, but it feels like you can't see anybody.
It feels lonely on stage.
Yeah, it's like it? It's like you're in a recording booth. Yeah. You know? So I was really nervous, but then when I got up there, I was like, oh well, like. It's pretty much like I'm up here by myself, yeah. which was also kind of scary too, because then you're like, wait, this is really weird. And then you kind of get in your own head, but it was super cool. And she's really amazing. So that was yeah. a pretty cool experience.
So yeah, you've had, you know, it's been really cool to watch your career just kind of explode.
Thanks.
And people really start to really connect with your music around the world.
Thank you.
One of the people that really became a big avid fan of yours is John Mayer.
Yeah.
What, like, first of all, I'm a huge fan of okay, cool. his as well. So when I saw that, I was like vicariously living through sweet. Through you. And I was like, oh,
sweet.
I know Alec, who knows John.
Okay, cool.
What was that like for you?
To meet John Mayer was crazy for me because when I was 14, the two artists, there's a lot of artists that I love, but the two artists that really made me want to start singing was Jason Mraz and John Mayer. Those are like the two artists where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and John Mayer is my favorite artist. Mm-hmm. So to get, when I was on tour, I was in a van, like driving through, I think Maine or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was freezing. I was like sleeping. You know, and Edward, who was taking a video of the tour, was like, dude, wake up, like, check your phone, you know, and I looked and John Mayer was posting about my music. That's and insane. It was really like, I actually cried.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. I did because I was like, for so long, I was thinking, oh man, maybe I made a big mistake doing music. You know, I had gotten dropped and then I was like still struggling and I wasn't sure if it was really going to work. And then
right.
I was he DM'd me and I had told him, I was like, thank you for this, man. I really needed this right now. And, you know, I wasn't sure I was on the right path. And he was like, you're on the right path. And so to have somebody that I had a poster of John Mayer on my wall, like literally next to my bed, like my bed is here. Like the
man.
Poster was like right above my bed next to my face. Every night I would look at him and be like, I love you. So when he told me like you're on the right path, I was like, okay, this wasn't a mistake.
Yeah. I'm sure that meant the world to you at that moment.
Yeah. Like, and he's just like, he's just amazing. It's hard for me to describe how much it means to me.
Yeah. What? So you guys met up, you guys did like his like,
yeah, that, his went Instagram on his Instagram show, which was really cool because I went to his house, which was crazy. It was, and yeah, I was like, oh, as I was walking up, I was like, yo, I'm about to like walk into John Mayer's house. Like 14 year old me is like, no, 24 year old me at the time. I was like, this is it. Like, this is the craziest thing ever. But if you would have told me that that was going to happen when I was 14, I wouldn't have believed it.
Insanity. Okay. So, I mean, we've talked about, you know, how quickly you've risen and like you're killing it. Let's talk a little bit about your music.
Okay.
One thing that as I was watching your show last night as well, and now it like comes full circle.
Thank you for coming, by the way.
I know. It was,
that was very cool.
I definitely was so excited to go and you killed it.
Thanks.
The fans loved it.
That was like one of the coolest crowds I've played for. So
what really kind of struck you about the crowd here in Korea?
That they knew the words to my songs and English is not like the first language, especially because I have a lot of words in my music.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah. You have a lot of words.
I have a lot of words. So it's like to see that and also just like to be on the other side of the globe and to have people come to a show is like crazy.
Really cool. I think that was kind of my question is, I don't feel like there are a lot of singers these days who write or sing in the way that you do.
Well, thanks.
In the sense of it's a lot of storytelling. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of words, but you're painting a very vivid picture of whatever it is. Like the song, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about like the prison one last
night. Oh, yeah, yeah, you can talk about it. I don't care. I'm like very open with this stuff.
So Alec just, you know, he very, I guess, like unexpectedly, you weren't planned for
Did
it
Did you like
at
the
all.
Song?
I loved it.
Okay, cool.
And I love the story behind it.
Oh, thanks.
But it was about, it's prison, right? Do you have a title
so
for
the,
it?
So the song's called Mind is a Prison. It's uh-huh. like My Mind is a Prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's more artistic if you cut out the mind and just say Mind is a Prison. You know, it's like, wow. Like, what does that mean? But yeah, it's just about like, that's how I feel. I think a lot. Like, I think all the time. Always thinking about stuff. My mom always says to me, she's like, why are you thinking about that? Like, you're not going to solve all your problems in one day. I'm like, but I might.
Maybe.
I might. So sometimes I get trapped inside my own head, and that's what that song is about. I think a lot of people feel that way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like I've always had this feeling like I am living behind my eyes, you know? And so that's what I wanted to outline in the song.
Yeah.
So that's why I wrote the song the way I did.
It was such a cool song. And now I understand where that comes from. It's from that Eminem influence, I feel like. And I just didn't understand. Like, I just didn't know because there are not a lot of people doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know? When I first heard the song Stan and I heard how it's just so smart, like the way that he did what he did when he was able to kind of, I don't know. There's so many different layers to his songs. You can just listen to it because it's a great melody and the flow is really like, you know, there's a great rhythm. But then the words and the story and the rhyme scheme are so complex. And then not only that, the meaning is like so profound. I was like, man, there's so many different elements that he had, and he put them together and he got it just right. And when I got to the end of the song Stan, when the story has the twist ending where Eminem is writing a letter to Stan finally, and he realizes that the person that he saw who drove off a bridge last week on the news was the person he's currently writing a letter to,
right?
I was like, I felt this pit, like this pit in my chest, and I was like, man, I want to make somebody out there feel the way that I felt at 11 listening to Eminem's music. I was like, that's what I want to do. Which is crazy too, because then like it's easy to get caught up in everything and lose sight of your goals. And sometimes I look at other people and I realize, like, you know, I probably never be like the biggest pop star ever, and like that's okay with me. But like, you know, sometimes you kind of forget. And then I listen to Eminem's records and I'm like, okay, no, wait, like this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to, maybe sometimes, like, you know, my music is a little bit more left, and so it doesn't always necessarily go straight down the center, which is fine. But yeah, I moved to California and I got very, like, it can be disorienting at times, you know, it's like all these lights and you're like, oh my God, you know, it's like so cool. I want that. And then you kind of forget like why you got started in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, that story is like very interesting to me because I just also always been curious. Like, I feel like everybody has a formative experience in terms of how they write music or how they perform and whatever. For me, it was just very pure pop, like right down the middle.
Right. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. It's just that's what I was drawn to.
Everything is, I'm not saying one thing is better than another or whatever. It's just like that's what got me excited and what I like to do. And I also love pop music too, though. You know, like I love the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Like they're one of my favorite bands. But even singer-songwriter, like Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel are my favorite. That's pop music as well.
Right.
But there's just like, I don't know. I hate to put like one kind of like, oh, pop or this is this or this is that. Especially now because—
Everything blends.
Right. Everything blends. It used to be like, you know, okay, I got $20 for my birthday, so I'm going to buy one CD. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like now you have access to everything.
Right.
Everything is blending together. So that's really cool. So I hate to put like one label on it because I feel like music has so many different influences. But anyways.
Okay. So, you know, you're on tour around the world. You have met some of your musical heroes. You're writing for your next album. You're doing everything. But there's, you know, in my head, and I don't know if you agree with this, but from the way that a lot of people may just look at it outside looking in, there's one song that really kind of just propelled you into the mainstream. And I think that would probably be Let Me Down Slowly.
Right.
Right. So I want to talk about that song a little bit.
Okay.
How did that song come about? And like, what significance does it have to you at this moment?
All right. So that song was... where should I start? Like, what is it about or how did I write it?
When did you write it?
Okay, so I wrote it in 2017.
Okay.
I wrote it in November of 2017. I was driving home from a session. I had already written a song that day, and I had that title in my head, Let Me Down Slowly. Oftentimes, like in my head while I'm driving, I'll cycle through like different titles. You know, I'll be like, I don't know if something comes to my mind right now, like, you know,
Mind of a Prison.
Yeah, mine is something like that, like whatever, you know. And a lot of them, most of them are not like great, you know, but I'll just keep going and going and going. And then like if I find something, I'm like, Let Me Down Slowly. That sounds cool. I'm like, I like that. And then I'll type it into like, you know, Google and see if there's a song called that already. And there wasn't. So I was like, well, that's cool. I always like to be like, I'm like, I want to be the first to have a song called that.
Right. You know? Right. You don't want something to overlap.
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter what your song is titled as long as like there's you have a different perspective on like whatever you're talking about. But I was like, dope, like that's mine now.
Yeah.
cool. I'm the first one to do that. Yeah. At least to have it uploaded. So I did that. I had the title in my head and then I was playing a song. I can't remember what it was, but I'll just like, you know, go on shuffle on my phone and just like, if there's like an instrumental break over a song, I'll sing a melody or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's one song came up. I don't even remember what it was. And I was like, did you find a way to let me down slowly over it? So then when I got home, I sat down on my piano and I played that. And I played a slightly different chord. And I sang, could you find a way to let me down slowly? Something. And then I showed it to my mom and I was like, is this cool? And she's like, I don't know. And so I was like, all right, cool. I was like, great. So I wrote actually the whole chorus. So I wrote, could you find a way to let me down slowly? A little sympathy. I hope you can show. I wasn't great at math in school, but I think that's because I didn't like school. Mm. But like in my mind, I'm always like, I like it when things rhyme and there's like symmetry and like, you know, I'll slowly like, show me. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I feel like I have, see this thing in my head. I'm like, okay, geometrically for some reason in my head, like that.
You got musical OCD.
Yeah. Yeah. I have OCD just in general, you know, But anyways, so I wrote the whole chorus and then the let me down, down, let me down, down, let me down, then you want to go. Okay, and then I finished that and then I actually wrote a different verse and a different pre-chorus.
Right.
And I sent it to everybody and they were like, cool, it's cool. And I was like, all right, great. And I actually didn't like the idea. I was going to trash it. I was like, yeah, forget about it. It doesn't matter. So the next day I had a session that was planned and I was actually I was sick. I wasn't feeling good. And I called Miles, who I work with, right before the session. And I said, I was like, dude, the guy who I was working with was like, yo, like, I actually don't have that much time today. I only have like a couple hours to hang out. Like, but you know, we can hang out anyways. And I called Miles. I was like, dude, I don't think I'm going to go. Like, I don't think this is.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get anything good. Like, it doesn't matter. So I played them the idea and they were like, yo, this is cool. This guy named Nolan played the guitar part. Mm-hmm. And there was these two guys, Nolan and Michael, and they played some music and they put like a piano part down and I sat in the corner and I wrote a new verse, a new pre-chorus and a new bridge. And we wrote the song in 25 minutes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, at the beginning of a session, like, you know, we like BS'd for like 30 minutes and then like, you know, I had like a power bar and then we wrote the song and then sang it once. Actually, okay. So the demo vocal is what we used. I sang the song one time through, put some harmonies on it and then I bounced and then they sent it to me and then I sent it out to everybody. And,
that's the mix master. That's the final.
What I sang the first time? Yeah.
Yes. That's insane.
I try to do that now, like with all the stuff. I don't like to go in and like recut everything. I was like, that's how I was feeling on that day. That's what the song should sound
right.
like.
Right. That's, you know what? I have the same feeling. Like, I feel like when I write, the demos always sound better.
Yeah. You're going to go back in and you're going to overthink it. It's like you have the emotion in you that day. Sometimes you don't have enough time to do it.
Right.
But it's hard to get back into that headspace that you were in when you were writing a song.
I'm sure you've been asked this a billion times.
Not a billion times.
Okay, maybe a million.
Actually, not
something.
That many. Probably like six or seven.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's like, crazy. Okay. Yeah. So tell us about the content of the song, like the lyrics. Like, where did that come from?
So the lyrics came from, well, I had the title in my head. Basically, how I write, and I think I need to, I'm gonna try to switch things up.
Yeah.
Okay, so like I said, I have OCD. So I'm the kind of person where like, I'll find like one type of food and then I'll eat it for like 3 months, and then like every day.
Seriously?
And then like I won't be able to look at it again. I'll be like, that's disgusting. Don't ever show
What's
me
the latest food
again.
That you did that with?
Okay. There's a place, there's a lot of different things I've done that with, but there's a place next to my house. I don't want to give
don't
too
say
much
the name.
Away.
Just like what dish
house.
Is it? Or like
I was just going to the I was just getting wraps at this one place that was next to my house, and I had the wrap like literally every single day, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then one day I took a bite of it and I was like, I don't think I can eat this ever again. That was the last time. So that's kind of what I do with songwriting. So I've had this process recently where I like find a title and then I like the words and they sound poetic. And then I'm like, but how does this relate to me?
Right.
And so I've written like hundreds of songs like that. So I'm going to start doing it differently. Uh-huh. Before that, I wrote differently as well.
Right.
Wait, what was your question?
What is the song about?
Let oh, what's the song
slowly.
About? Yeah. Okay, so I had the title and then I was like, well, how does Let Me Down Slowly relate to me? And then I was thinking of this time where I was in my apartment. It's the first time I was kind of like living on my own. And my girlfriend at the time came over and middle of the night, she like got up, she got out of bed, she walked around and then she left. And I think she thought that I was asleep, but I wasn't. And I knew what was happening. And at the time I was like, damn, like, okay, well, if she leaves, I hope, like, and she's going to break up with me, I hope she's just, like, gentle about the way that she does it. And so that's what I wrote the song about. And it was weird because it was, like, it was maybe, like, 3 years after our relationship that I wrote the song.
Right,
but
right.
it's the only relationship I've ever really been in, so it's kind of the only one I can reference when I'm writing about a breakup.
Okay, cool.
And I had never written a song about somebody like that ever before. Mm-hmm. It was our first time.
What do you think your next album is going to be kind of about?
I'm like, trying to figure that out. I'm not really sure, but I've been struggling a lot like emotionally for the last like 8 months. It's crazy because I go through a lot of ups and downs. I'm very like high highs and low lows.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably going to be a lot about that. I haven't really been like dating or anything like that. It's not. I've just been mostly focused on music, but I think sometimes I get too hyper focused on something and can be overwhelming and sometimes it makes me sad. Do you ever have that?
I mean, I think I just, it's the life we live as like performers and just always being somewhere different and on the road and doing like that can be emotionally taxing.
Yeah.
It can be exhausting.
Well, yeah, it's just like, it's a lot. But I guess like, I'm always like that. I'm always like, I don't know. I just think too much about stuff and it freaks me out. So that's probably what this album will be about. Mm-hmm. Will be about just like just dealing with that. And I pushed myself really, really hard and I think I finally hit a little bit of a breaking point in the last few months. Like, because I was going like for 3 or 4 years, I was just going like nonstop, you know? Yeah. And it's weird because like I dropped out of school. I got dropped from my label. Meanwhile, like, you know, everyone else in my life, like their lives are progressing and moving forward. Friends are graduating, getting jobs, you know, getting married, whatever. And I'm like here at my parents' house, things aren't really working out for me. And so I'm like, well, I just gotta work every single day.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I remember my lowest point. Like, I was never like destitute, like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to like feed myself, you know, like there was food in the refrigerator.
Right.
So I'm not complaining, but I do remember one time I was playing at this, I'll say the name because I was so mad at them. I was playing at Cantor's Deli. I would play like open mics too. Like I'd be like, yo, just like whatever. Like open mics in LA are like some, that's like, I can't
like
curse.
Brutal.
Right? Okay, I was
you can
like,
curse. I don't
I
give
like,
a shit.
Some crazy shit. There's some in the best way possible, there's some crazy people like showing up to these open mics.
Like, what do you mean in the way crazy? Like,
well, I mean, I was even like performing with homeless people, you know, anyone can, not that they're crazy or don't misquote me on but like all different types of people show up, you know, like
it's
anyone can play
group.
An open mic.
Right.
Yeah. And it was just like, and also just like, you know, like there was this 90-year-old lady who like raps, you know, it's like some, it's like, it was awesome. But I remember one time, like I would like write a little bit, you know, and then I would like do like a live broadcast on social media.
Yeah.
And then I would go to somebody. Oh, sorry. I would go to somebody's concert. I would sing online and then I would go straight from there to an open mic. So I was doing like three things every day.
You were hustling, dude.
Yeah. And it got really intense. And I still have that mentality. And so anyways, I remember one time I'd never gotten paid for performance, but at Cantor's they were like, yo, like, we'll give you like a sandwich, like a meal voucher, like if you play. And I was like, this is dope. Like, but this is the first time that my music is gonna feed me. You know what I mean? Right. I was like, this is
meaningful.
Cool. Right. Yeah. So I didn't eat lunch because I was like, yo, like, I'm gonna have a sandwich. Like, it's gonna be lit, right? So I showed up before my performance and I was like, yo, like, I have this meal ticket, like, can I? They're like, you can only like get that after you play. And I was like, yeah, but I'm playing at like 10 p.m. Like, I'm really hungry now. And they were like, you can't, like, unless you haven't played.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
So I put all my shit on the ground and I fucking cried. And I called my mom. I was like, I can't even get a sandwich with my music. Man. Like, this sucks. You know, I was like, this is the worst thing ever. I was like, I can't even get a sandwich. And so that stuff being so traumatic for me, I'm like, yo, like, I never want that to happen to me again. So from the moment I wake up in the morning, I start working, and then till when I go to sleep at night. And that's sustainable when you're not changing time zones and all this kind of, you know, when you need to rest. And so finally, like, I did too much, and I had like a breakdown like a month ago where I was just like, I can't get out of bed. Yeah. I feel terrible. Like,
you gotta take care of yourself. I think that's like one thing that a lot of people don't really like to talk about, and I think it's great that you're willing to talk about it, but it's that mental health and being able and willing to take care of yourself is so important, not only in music, but just in life.
For everybody. It's like, it's hard. Life is hard. It's okay. Like, it's very hard, and I definitely struggle a lot with that kind of stuff. I'm like not always happy. Life is hard. You have to take care of your brain.
I mean, I resonate so much with that as well. I feel like for me, I've moved to Korea 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and it's been exactly what you've described every single day.
Right.
And it's you feel like you're being chased constantly, or you're chasing after something.
Yeah, well, we are, right? Well, we're always like, you know, every day. And you're always kind of like trying to make sure bad things don't happen.
Right.
And you're running away from something, and it's like, it's a lot.
Just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, just trying to stay alive.
Trying to stay alive. But it's incredible that it's worked out so well for you, and it's as a friend, I'm like so happy.
Well,
and
thanks for giving me the opportunity and a platform to share my music, because that was one of the biggest moments for me. Like, there were people that came to the show that I played with you at Urban Plaza from like some of the record labels that were interested in signing me.
That's awesome.
That came to see, you know, me open for you and came to see your show. And like, that created a really big moment for me that allowed me to get started again. So I really appreciate that.
No, man. Like, I appreciate it, and I can't really say I did anything.
You did. So, like, you did. It's a big deal, man.
No, I mean, it means a lot, but thank you so much. It's really cool that we're here in Seoul doing this.
It's awesome.
To kind of come out of the deep end a little bit, let's talk about your show yesterday. So Jimin from BTS shows up as well, and we were talking about, and he's like a legit fan.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Like, so I don't know. Did you see us when you were on stage?
I get like eye contact sometimes, like during a show makes me uncomfortable. So I'm like, I had a feeling that you guys were watching from up there, but I didn't want to look.
Okay.
so I didn't see. I was just like performing, and then I would come like, so I would go to like, I would like be looking at the side stage, but I would kind of look down. I was like, even with sometimes with fans like in the crowd, I'll look at them and then I'll be like, they have like a weird moment where they're like, is he looking at me? I'm not sure. This is weird. So I felt like you might be there, but I didn't look.
We were right there. We were like on top of you pretty much.
Sick.
Watching it. And I didn't know he was such a fan. Like, but you mentioned that he put you on his playlist.
Yeah. One day I was in San Diego with my friend, and I woke up and my Twitter like exploded, and it's because he updated his playlist on Spotify, and there's 12 songs and like 6 or 7 of them are my songs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? It was totally nuts. I was like, it's so crazy to have, you know, because we come from different places and geographically we're so far apart. So just to know that my music reached him is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I remember like watching the Billboard Awards when BTS was like first exploding and being right. like, oh, so these guys like pretty much run the internet, right?
Yeah. Like, they own the internet.
Yeah. Like, and it's nuts. Like their music and what they do is amazing. So I'm a fan as well. So for that to come full circle is really crazy.
It was funny because he just kept sitting there and he was like, his voice is insane. His voice is insane. I was like, yeah, I know.
Oh, thanks.
And then for like an hour, just like, his voice is insane. That's like pretty much all we kept saying to each other.
That's crazy. Thanks, man.
And then like afterwards, I like as you guys were talking, it was just funny to watch the interaction from like the third party. It was just like both of you fully mutually respect each other. There's clearly a language barrier.
A little bit going on. A little bit. I have to learn to speak some Korean then, you know?
You just might have to move here for a little bit.
And maybe. You know? Maybe. Yo, Seoul is really dope. It's really, really dope.
You've been here for what, like 36 hours?
48 yeah, hours and it's awesome. Like also like Korean barbecue is like my favorite food. So in LA, me and my friend Larson go to Korean barbecue at least like once a week. So like to be here and to have Korean barbecue in Korea is like crazy.
I mean, yeah, we had dinner last night and I just remember like, we're having Korean barbecue in Korea.
That's yeah, so cool. Cool.
Like, yeah, so that cool. is pretty cool. Any like, what do you want to achieve or do next? Like what is... Do you have a big goal or anything
like
that?
Well, yeah, I have to be honest with you. I think like having Let Me Down Slowly was really cool. It's weird because so the first song that I put up on the internet that really kind of did well was a song called The Water Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because I feel like that song had a moment and it never really reached its full potential because when it kind of like exploded on Musical.ly when Musical.ly first got started before it was TikTok. And there were like two or three million user generated videos to that song. But nobody could find the song because it was only a snippet of it on YouTube. And so the song got really big and then there were a whole host of songs that exploded on Musical.ly and then they went all the way.
Right.
But that's because people could download them. And so like people loved this beginning piece of a song and they couldn't find it. And so after I did that song and then I kind of had to give up on that album because I knew that I wasn't going to get it back.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately I actually did, which is cool. But I was like, I'm never going to write a song better than Water Fountain. Like that's never going to happen. Mm. Like, and in my head in every session, I'd be like, yeah, but it's not as good as that song, which is funny because when I wrote the Water Fountain, I didn't even like it, you know?
It and just now, grew on you?
People liked it. And then I was like, oh, so it must be cool then, you know? And so Let Me Down Slowly, like, I didn't even like that when I made it. I was like, yeah, I did it in 20 minutes. Like, I sent it out. My friend Max called me and he was like, dude, that chorus is crazy. I was like, really? He was like, yeah. I was like, all right, cool. And then I started playing it for people and they'd be like, yo, that song is dope. So I was like, all right, well, this song, there's something here. And so now I'm in that mode where I'm like, well, I'm probably never going to write a song better than Let Me Down Slowly.
You will.
In the back of my head every day, I'm like, oh, I'm having so much fun today. Yeah, but you didn't write a song better than Let Me Down Slowly. So like, that's who I am. I have a really great ability to look at the downside of everything. So if something good happens and it's something that I've been working for and I'd be like, I really want this. And then I'll get it. And then I'll be like, yeah, but probably shouldn't have got it though because like now this happened. So that's what I'm worried about. But I think that I may have. I think that probably the thing that I'll be focused on is just I try to have like be as honest as I possibly can in my lyrics. So whatever this album sounds like, I think it's going to be a little bit more live drums, more live bass, so less programmed elements sonically. But I think that it's just going to focus on where I'm at emotionally right now. Cool. And that's the space that I'm in, freaking myself out, thinking that I'm never, ever going to make it.
I'm right there with you, bro.
Okay, cool.
I'm right there with you.
So, you know, when you go into the room and you're like, there's that pressure that you put on yourself of like wanting every song that you write every day to be better than the last one.
To outdo yourself constantly.
You want every day. And it's just not like you may... This is not how it works. It doesn't work like that. And you never know when the right song is going to come out. I may not have one on this album. Maybe I will in my fifth album. Like, you never know. And so it's just like, I think that no matter what, as long as I tell the stories that I want to tell, like, I'll be content with whatever happens.
You're doing great.
Thanks,
bro. And I'm so happy for you.
Oh,
dude.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think we got to start wrapping things up slowly, but we have some first and last questions.
Okay.
All right. So your first and last, I think this is probably easy, but instrument played. Your first?
My first instrument I ever played was guitar, and the last one I just played was guitar.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
First and last physical album bought.
Oh, wait, my first album, or my first piano, or not my first piano. My first instrument was piano.
Oh, okay, okay.
I played the piano.
Started on piano.
But I stink at it. Okay, wait.
No, you're good. You played last night.
Yeah, but I'm a one-trick pony. Like, I'll learn, like, one song like that's. I can't, like, do anything.
Here's my thing. I have so much respect for people who can play an instrument and sing at the same time.
Okay.
Because I can't do
both. You can do it. You can.
I really can't. My brain, I think I have aneurysm.
No, you don't. If you want to do it, you could do it. Trust me.
Maybe I don't want to do it.
All right, well, that's the thing. It's like, sometimes, like, you know, you're like, there's a lot of things that I think are really cool. I'm like, oh, that's like surfing. Like, I watch surfing. I'm like, that's dope. But like, I don't have like, you got to really be like, that's what I want. But like, you don't need to because you can dance and like.
Dude, I cannot dance.
No, you can.
I can fidget.
Nah, but you got the swag on stage. Like, I have to be holding like an instrument. I cannot not have
All right,
one.
We're going to have to do something where it's you and Jimin teaches you how to dance.
All right.
And I'll be the back
dancer. You guys both teach me how to dance.
All right. First and last physical album bought.
The first physical album that I had was probably it was the Beach Boys, Surfing USA. And the last one I bought was probably Black and Blue by The
Backstreet Boys?
Oh, no, the Eminem show or the 8 Mile soundtrack, but I did also buy Black and Blue. And then after that, it was the rise of like
the
MP3.
Digital,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Yo, Black and Blue was a great album too.
Yeah.
People.
Actually, the last physical album I bought was Love is a Four Letter Word by Jason Mraz.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a great one.
That's a great one.
Great one. First and last concert attended.
The first concert I went to was a Billy Joel concert, but I slept through that. So then the first one I really went to was NSYNC. And then the last one, yeah, it was crazy.
What was that like?
It was dope. Like, it was NSYNC at Nassau Coliseum in New York on their, like, No Strings Attached tour.
Woo!
Yeah, my dad does acupuncture, and me and my sister were always afraid of it. So he was like, if you let me do this acupuncture needle, I'll take you to the NSYNC concert. I was like, right here, dude.
Like, into the neck.
Stab
right
me. And then the last concert I went to as a fan was, Coldplay. Yeah.
Those are
Chris
great.
Chris Martin is one of my favorite songwriters.
He's great.
That's probably the best live show I've ever been to.
Their production is just insane.
Yeah, and he's amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
First musical hero and last that you met.
My first musical hero is The first musical hero that I met. I met Jason Mraz.
Okay.
The last one that I met was John Mayer.
Okay.
So yeah.
You can retire now pretty much.
No. I have to meet Eminem and Chris Martin.
Oh. Chris Martin, Eminem.
And Paul Simon.
I met Chris Martin.
Oh my, I'm so jealous.
I'll tell you later.
I'm so jealous of you.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Was it crazy?
It was kind of crazy.
Cool.
It was really cool. First song you ever wrote.
The first song I ever wrote was a song called Beautiful Pain. That was for my grandpa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The last song that you wrote
was Mind is a Prison song.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what freaked me out. Like, you wrote that last week and you remember every word?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't remember.
I forget the words to my songs all the time.
I do that constantly.
Okay.
I just can't. All right. Let's see. I think like that pretty much wraps up my official questions that I
Great.
Have.
Great.
Anything you want to talk about?
No, this is awesome.
Well, thanks for coming.
I always get nervous, but I felt very comfortable. You're great at this. Thanks for all the questions.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on this show, this amazing award-winning Pulitzer Prize worthy show.
Yeah, definitely.
Where can people find you online?
Wherever, like Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, like wherever.
It's all Alec Benjamin.
Just Alec Benjamin.
That's so easy.
And yeah, there's like tons of random songs floating around on the internet that. Yeah. I have never properly recorded, so if you're interested, you can find those too.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have, and this is, I don't know why I have to ask this question, but I always love asking the question. Two questions. Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm open to anything.
Have you seen one?
I've never seen a ghost.
Okay. And your dream collab?
My dream collaboration? Oh, man. It'd be cool to do a song with John Mayer or Chris Martin.
Oh!
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be super dope. All right. So last word to everybody listening on your behalf. Anything you want to say to just wrap it up to the listeners?
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for, you know, if you have heard my music before and you're a fan, thank you for supporting me and my dream. And if not, I hope you will give my music a chance and I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, that's okay too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Behind the Hit.
Thanks
for
having
me. Ask you to improvise an outro jingle for us.
Oh, okay. Oh, an outro jingle, man. And this is where they see I'm a fraud. okay. This is Behind the Hit with us. Yeah.
Thanks, brother.